Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you've been with us already, thanks for that. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week by email. I think you'll like it. Join the other 10,000-plus subscribers of our letter. I'm excited about Connie Glazer being back on the show, folks. She's a nationally recognized speaker and consultant. She's one of the country's top authorities on women in business. She's highly sought after on TV and, of course, as you know, on radio. You've seen her, in addition to our show, you've seen her on some of those other shows like the Today Show and CNN, Bloomberg News, some of those smaller outlets out there. And she's the author of a book that's become one of my favorites, What Queen Esther Knew. Connie Glazer, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Always a great pleasure.
It's good to have
you on
the show.
And out of all of the media that I do, this is clearly the most fun.
You know, I can see that, Connie. I can see that it would be.
Nothing staid about this one. It's anything goes, and I appreciate that. I appreciate your open-mindedness and your willingness to have a little fun with issues that are important.
Connie, we got to have fun because you know what? Life's too short otherwise.
I'm with you.
Let's forget about it. If we can't have some fun, let's just forget about it.
Let's walk away and go home.
Let me tell you what happened last week. You're going to get a kick out of this.
Okay.
As my audience knows, I was in Washington all week last week for a lot of different reasons, but primarily for my annual pilgrimage for Small Business Week, mm-hmm. and helping the SBA celebrate their 50th anniversary, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to tell a little story, that little thing that happened. As most of you know, the hurricane came through Wednesday night and Thursday morning, and the big kickoff for the whole thing for the SBA was really Thursday morning. It started on Wednesday a little bit, but it was really Thursday morning. The first full 2 days of activity was started Thursday morning. Well, I'd invited a bunch of people to come to, as you were, to come to the breakfast, and then of course there were a lot of other people who who were there who knew I knew a little bit about what was going on that week. And so they called me on my cell phone and in my hotel Wednesday night, and they said, is the program still going on? Is the SBA still having their events? And I said, of course, what are you talking about? They said, well, there's a hurricane. And I said, well, what? And they said, but the government shut down. And I said, well, that's the government. We're small business. We show up.
And that's the difference between government and enterprise.
And you know what? When I said that, every person who called me and who I said that to, and it must have been a half a dozen, every one of them said, hey, I hadn't thought about that. You're right.
And you know what, Jim? If you wanted to synthesize the difference between the public and the private sector, that's it. Because small business people have a drive, have an ability to overcome obstacles and adversity, and to view the playing field and do whatever they have to do to be creative to get over those hurdles.
About 4 years ago, we had an ice storm. It knocked out all the power while I was on the air.
Oh, no.
I mean, literally, everything went black. We had an ice storm, and it knocked a bunch of lines down all over the whole region, really. And you know what I did? I went out and I got in my car, because that's where my cell phone was, and I finished the show. On my cell phone.
Good for you.
Small business shows up, you know. And the thing is my audience knows, Connie, that I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on them, because you know what? They're nodding their heads.
Well,
they're
that's
here.
Right.
They're men and women alike. They're out there listening to this, and they're saying, you know what? He's right. That's exactly what I would do.
And you know what? Small business owners are among the most resourceful people that we have in this country. They will figure out a way to get over, around, or through hurdles
and
flourish.
And you know what, Connie, and this is, folks, this is a perfect setup. They don't call me the king of Segway for nothing. Connie, the women are as good an example of that as anything. You're probably going to say they're better at this even than men. I'm not going to say they're better, but I'm going to say that they found some very, they have had to climb some extra mountains that guys haven't had to climb in the last few years. I will give you that.
Well, there's no question. And going back to your story about the SBA, about people showing up, I always say that the first step in any success is simply being there, showing up, being at the party.
You know what Woody Allen said, don't you? He said 80% of life is just showing up.
Just showing up.
Yeah.
And you know what? Women are really good at showing up, whether it's our carpool experience or hosting an event, but we are really good at being there. But we're not just good at being there. Women are really good at networking as well. We used to think about networking as part of the old boy network.
Uh-huh.
Women have been doing this for centuries, for eons, whether it was over the back fence or the coffee closet.
Well, and you do it, and as we go to a break here, Connie, I got to say, you do it with so much more class than we do, because you guys do it without scratching and spitting. That's the good thing about your networking.
And other bodily noises.
It's a lot more elegant than the way guys do it. There's no question about it. 22, stay with us, folks. I told you we'd have fun when Connie joined us.
Sitting in the morning sun.
We're back at 17 till.
I'll be sitting.
I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're sitting on the dock of the bay with our good friend Connie Glazer, the author of What Queen Esther Knew. And by the way, let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, will be back with us, as she is every week, to talk about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world this week. And that's coming up in the next hour. Connie and I are talking about women in the marketplace, and sometimes we cross over a little bit and talk about how that affects men. And speaking of which, Connie, I let our men know that they need to get ready for this emerging tide of women business owners, because you know, a few years ago it was, you know, if a woman was running a business, not just an owner like a mother who inherited the business from the father. But, I mean, she started a darn thing. She's dug it out of the dirt and is making it happen out there, and she's, you know, kicking some rear end in the marketplace. Then, you know, these ladies used to be a little bit of an anomaly, a little bit of an interesting thing that happens.
Right.
But this is happening more and more. And I'll tell you what, guys, they're not only your competitors, but there are two other things that I like more than that, Connie. They're your vendors and they're your customers.
No question about that. In fact, 80% of all services and products that are procured in this country are procured by women. So this whole area of marketing to women has become very, very hot.
Well, now, we've known about that for a long time, because I remember years ago trying to put together, when I was working in the publishing business, publishing industry, magazines, I remember trying to sell a sports program. And I learned quickly, this was a long time ago, I learned real quickly that if you're going to sell ketchup, you don't market to men, you market to women.
Who are buying the product.
That's
Office
right.
Depot certainly knows that. I know that you're very connected in, as I am, Jim, with Office Depot, and they're really leading the pack in terms of designing stores and marketing campaigns and understanding the needs of women, particularly women in small business, and are adapting themselves in order to meet those specific needs. They're very smart. They're very savvy and really leading the pack in that industry.
Well, and I'm glad, and you're right, they are doing that, and I'm glad they're doing it without putting a bunch of pink things up, too.
Well, that's surface stuff. I have also worked as a marketing consultant with a large hotel chain, and the thrust many years ago in terms of marketing to women was to change the bottles that they had the shampoo in and put little pink bows around them. That's not what women want.
That's right.
Women want the travel experience to be made easier for them. They want respect when they check in. They want to be treated with the same kind of respect and the same level of customer service and customer relations that men receive.
Well, but the truth is, though, Connie, is there is an element to women have a way about them that they do like certain things. I mean, they're not going to be mad if there's a rose on their pillow, right?
No, that's fine. But they don't want to be condescended to. They don't want to think that someone is trying to cater them to them simply by surface kinds of things like pink bows. It's not just about the bows and the whistles. It's about the quality of the service. It's about being taken seriously.
Well, and see, that I'm kind of having a little fun with this, because I wanted to get the guys' attention out there because, you know, and if you think about it, Connie, let's give the guys a little bit of a break. We got a lot of knuckleheads out there who really haven't been used to doing business with a lot of women, and maybe they really do care. Maybe they really want to give women the full chance, but they just don't quite know how to do it. So help us out a little bit.
Well, I think this goes both ways. I think men need to understand that women are truly a force to be reckoned with in the marketplace and in the workplace. The fastest growing sector of the American economy is women-owned businesses. They are here to stay. It's a done deal. It's a fact of life. But they also need to understand that women are their colleagues, are their vendors, are their customers, and they need to figure out a way that they can treat them appropriately so that they can really partner with them. Ultimately, that's what it's about. It's not about men and women separately. It's not the separate but equal stuff. It's how we can collaborate and bring all of our strengths to the table and to partner with one another, because ultimately that's where our greatest strength is.
Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. But women have really done a good job in overcoming some areas and have learned how to do some things. One of the best stories I learned last week, Connie, was a lady named Joanne. I'll think of her last name in a minute. She's the number two small business person of the year.
Uh-huh.
And Stockham, Joanne Stockham from Iowa.
Uh-huh.
And you know what she does?
Yeah.
She has a business that's flourishing. She's buying more product, buying more equipment, and hiring more people. And she is in an industry that is a dying U.S. industry. It's literally dying in front of our eyes. She's in the foundry business.
Isn't that
interesting? Now, in the same week I found out that her business is flourishing, I know of a foundry company, a 100-year-old family foundry company that was on the auction block from bankruptcy. Now, what does she know that the guys who ran that other foundry, that they didn't know? And I checked into it, and
yeah.
It's not because she's a woman. It's because she found a way to place herself in a niche, and those other guys didn't do that.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that a great story?
It's a fabulous story.
It's a great story, but with a sad story, too, because that 100-year-old family business is gone now. But they just weren't able to find the niche.
Maybe that tells us something, too, Jim, about small business and adaptability and flexibility and nimbleness.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times some of the very old companies don't have that ability to adapt quickly to the time.
They got to shed the baggage.
Women are very good at that.
They got to shed the paradigm baggage, don't they? The way
Absolutely.
That they used to do it. And I think that's what she brought to the table. Ten Tills, stay with us. We'll be right back with Connie Glazer, the author of What Queen Esther Knew.
Gonna take a freight train down at the station.
Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, having more fun than the law allows with our good friend Connie Glazer, co-author of What Queen Esther Knew, along with Barbara Smalley. They also are the authors of Swim with the Dolphins, another book about women in business. And I really encourage you folks to check out this book. It's not only a beautiful book, on the outside, it's an outstanding book on the inside, Business Strategies from a Biblical Sage. And, Connie, what I'd like for you to do is give us your website and tell us where the book's available.
Sure. The website is www.connieglazer.com.
Okay.
And hopefully the book is available at your local Borders, Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores. Also, an easy place to get it from is Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay.
So it should be available everywhere. The book is doing wonderfully. The word is getting out, and I'm delighted. And I appreciate your help toward that end, too, Jim.
Well, it's my pleasure. And ladies, you need to read it, because I really think it'll lift you up. And guys, we need to read it so we know what the ladies are up to. And
very important.
Absolutely. We got to do that, guys. I'm telling you. You know, guys, don't feel like I've turned into Phil Donahue here, folks. We got to, or Alan Alda. We got to look out for ourselves, too. We got to know.
Right. This guy's no softy.
That's right. We got to know what we got to. I only do this so I know what they're up to, folks. That's guys. That's
self-vested self-interest, right?
That's exactly
Jim?
Right. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, Connie. What's one of the things that we were talking about earlier is this importance of finding a niche. You know, people say, I remember 20 years ago, somebody said, how will anything happen in the future Everything's already been done. Everything's already been invented. How, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember thinking, boy, you don't know much about the marketplace. You don't know much about the human spirit. Because you and I both know that niches are going to be identified and filled as long as they're human beings. And that's what's happening right now. And that's what's so exciting. And technology is helping to make that happen more than anything else.
Absolutely. And a lot of savvy women and men are recognizing that, are finding a very small niche and being able to capitalize on that rather than being a generalist. I think, for instance, I was honored recently at a women's conference, and there was a woman who was Entrepreneur of the Year, and she had made a better mousetrap. In this case, her mousetrap was that corridor piece that goes from the terminal at an airport out to the airport runway that we walk through. She had developed a better design on this, and she was being sought after by every airport in the country to implement these. Who even thinks about that sort of thing? Who even thinks, as you're walking onto your plane, who invented this particular device? She came up with a concept. She figured it out. She was brilliant at marketing it, and she was eminently successful.
Yeah. And you know, I was talking about, I was just thinking about Joanne Stockema, whom I just mentioned earlier, about the foundry business. I asked her, I said, how have you been successful when so many of your competitors are literally going out of business? They can't even sell their businesses. They're not worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
She said, we figured out how to mix the metal at the mold in a way that makes us more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That didn't have anything to do with wearing a skirt, did it?
No, it didn't. It had to do with using her innate intelligence to figure it out.
Yeah.
And to do it differently. I think a lot of businesses get stuck in, well, we've always done it this way. It's kind of the Coke formula paradigm.
I call it the deadly parrot.
It worked before, it'll work now.
The deadly paradigm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is that's how I think that one of the reasons why women are doing so well these days is because they're actually having to think that severely, they're dealing with a little more adversity, I think, than the guys are, especially from the standpoint of getting capital for their businesses and competing against the guys who are already entrenched in a lot of these industries. And so they're saying, while they're all they're doing is trying to get business, they're saying, hey, you know what? I just found a new way to do this.
Well, that's right. And in many cases, that kind of adversity or that exclusion from the old boys network can be a great motivator because they can't rely on traditional ways of doing things. Those haven't worked for them, and in many cases, women have not been on the playing field when things have been done traditionally. So here they are coming from an outsider perspective, and they've got to figure out a different and a new way of doing it. And
well,
in many cases, that really sort of prods and stimulates their creativity and resourcefulness.
And folks, let me tell you something. Ladies, those of you out there, there are a few women out there who have been doing this for a while. They've been leading the charge. They've been pointing out women in the marketplace, and they've been helping them. And one of those ladies is Connie Glazer, our guest this half hour, the author, co-author, along with Barbara Smalley, of What Queen Esther Knew. And Connie, thank you for all you do for small business owners, male and female.
Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure to be with you.
And we'll see you next time. Connie Glazer,
okay,
ladies
very
and gentlemen.
Good. Thanks, Jim.
ConnieGlazer.com. Don't forget to check that out. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes. This is Jim Blasick. Small business owners, by the way. That's who my heroes are. I'll see you in a little bit.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.